Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, but our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 5 of Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Tonight, we're going to talk about the X factor, and we have a guest with us tonight. Her name is Brittany. Brittany and Kristen and I all know each other from our local moms group and some overlap with preschools. So we kind of have a lot in common and know each other in a lot of different places. But Brittany is married for the second time to the love of her life, mom to 2 boys with a baby on the way. Brittany, can you tell us a little bit more about your blended family?
Sure can. I don't know how much time we actually have, but I'll try to make it short and sweet. So like you said, I'm married. I've been married for just over a year, but my husband and I have been together for, I'd say, 6 total years. And I have a 5-year-old boy, and together we have a 3-year-old son. We have 3 crazy dogs, and crazy lifestyle right now, especially with another one on the way. But as far as the blended family goes, it's I'm always excited to talk about it, but it's also kind of an unbelievable story too. My previous relationship that I was in, it was very short, actually. It was only probably about under 2 years long. It just ended. We didn't really work out. We weren't for each other, but lo and behold, a few months later, I found out I was pregnant. At that point I had already started, dating, casually, nothing serious, to my now husband. And, he's a few years older than me. He's been in and out of his own different relationships, and he was, much more supportive than I thought any man would ever be when they found out that your new girlfriend is pregnant and it's not your kid. So lo and behold, he said, I'm in it. You know, I'm ready for a family if you want to be with me. So myself growing up in a divorced family, I kind of already had an idea of what it would be like trying to keep the family afloat, but the love not being there. So I had some decisions to make, and I wasn't really sure what to do, but part of me wasn't afraid. You know, I think as adults, we need lives, aside from just having children. And, I didn't really want to be just an empty body after I delivered this baby. I wanted to still have that wholesome family. And that wasn't guaranteed. I mean, nothing in life is guaranteed, but, the future is unknown. So no matter what I was going to do, I was going to go in blind. So, like I said, my husband is my rock. He's such a supportive person in my life, as well as my son, both my boys' lives. My ex, and my husband, were actually both in the delivery room when I delivered my first son.
Really?
Yeah. So talk about pretty crazy. It was an interesting day, to be said.
I guess.
But there was a lot of love, and that's what was important. It took a while, I think, for my ex to kind of understand that this was the decision that was made, and that it was what was sticking. As far as our relationship as parents co-parenting, I'm sure he didn't like it and agree with my decision, and it took a few years to move on and to, I guess, grow his own new life, which he has. He's actually been in a relationship now for probably about maybe a year or two, and he's actually engaged now. And I couldn't be more happier with the person that he's, you know, chosen to be his partner in his life. She is a very supportive and strong role model. She's very kind, and she loves my son very, very much. And she just has a good head on her shoulder. And it's hard for me to share with anyone, especially another woman. But to know that he has chosen and decided to be with someone so supportive and loving, and has a loving family of her own, no children, but, her parents are still together, and they've become such a big part of my son's life as well. I'm sure that I could be overbearing and somewhat forward and strong-willed as a person, let alone a mom. But I think that our differences, we kind of moved past. And I'm sure it was very difficult for her to adjust to being into a new relationship, let alone one with a child, and also a very strong-willed mother of the child. Mm-hmm. But in general, we've gotten to the point now where we all mainly email each other. It's kind of weird. We email each other mostly just for documentation, just because of different court things that we've had go on in the past. But if need be, there's always the open line of communication for a phone call or a text message. It's nice to know that my son is so loved by so many different people. And he's able to share his life with other people. It's like I said, it wasn't always, and it's not easy by any means, but it wasn't always this smooth, to say the least. Just it took time, communication, and trust, which is very difficult sometimes.
Definitely. I think we've kind of talked about that already in the past, about how time seems to be the kind of general theme, that as time goes on, it gets better in most mm-hmm. cases, at mm-hmm. least. Kristen, would you agree?
Yeah, it was, I love, Brittany, everything that you said, because I feel like, you really reiterated so many things that Carrie and I have said. And, immediately when you started talking about making choices as, just not only a parent, but as an adult, when I was, I have a few friends that listen to the podcast out of the five people that do, but the one friend that he said, it's just really inspirational, because I think a lot of people could be in your situation where you have to make decisions, and some people stay in relationships, and it does take a little bit more strength to actually leave sometimes. And so, mm-hmm. I think that this podcast is about, if you do leave, if you do make that choice, then what is that like landscape, and what are all the different nuances and factors that are in front of you? And you, mm-hmm. Just presented like a whole separate section that somebody, which is amazing and just so cool. So I think that it's just, how do we do this? It's like you said, life is messy. It's all messy. So mm-hmm. How do we just get through this the best we can with what you've learned? I mean, you guys are now doing some texting, but you have to do emailing based on past history, and that mm-hmm. can be challenging, but you're moving in the right direction. So I think that's just great for everybody else to hear that's going through something similar.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we wanted, to have you on today so you could shed some light on some of those different dynamics, and because things are going, really well for you, and we're all trying to figure out our X factor. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about today, so the holidays are coming up. We did a show on, kind of like managing the holidays and all the different dynamics, but something that came up for me recently, so not only do you have the X factor of just, the person who's the biological father in our case of our kids, but their whole family and their whole world that comes with that. So not just mm-hmm. dating, but so like in-laws, just trying to negotiate what that situation is like. So I thought maybe we could talk about for us, you know, like the good and the bad and where's it at with, you know, people who have been really close to you for a certain period of time. And now, you know, the one string that's still attached is your child. So I know for me, you know, I think what's really hard is that when you're going through a breakup of the relationship, you know, your parents are the ones that are closest to you. So they're hearing, you know, the bad, the worst, the, you know, every aspect of the relationship breaking down. And so, you know, they naturally are on your side. And, you know, so your parents have to have a relationship with their ex, and you have to have a relationship with your ex's parents. So how has it been like for you, Brittany, in that situation? Anything like notable that you want to share?
I mean, like I said before, my parents got divorced when I was 7. So that's kind of the lifestyle that I knew going into things. Ironically, my ex also grew up in a divorced family. So he also was familiar with, you know, the split time, the shared parenting, you know, different holidays and things like that. From the beginning, after our breakup and throughout my pregnancy, he's actually in the military, so he was away for some time. And they did reach out to check on, see how I was doing during my pregnancy, and which was very kind. And they've since been there, you know, more so in the behind the scenes kind of thing. If we need an extra person to help out with, you know, pickups or drop offs, you know, they've made themselves available, very cordial and public, you know, a hi, how are you? Mm-hmm. And the same thing with, you know, my parents are very cordial with my ex as well. Ironically, my husband's family is very friendly, you know, and kind, you know, to my ex also. It's like, you know, they're part of the family as well. Mm-hmm. And they care for, you know, my son as well. So it's nice that openness is there. And there's, I can't really say there's any bad blood or anything like that. I mean, we don't all sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, all, you know, three families, but,
right.
It's nice to have the extra family members a part of all of our lives.
Yeah. Cause I know Carrie talks about being like the bonus mom, you know, is like,
yes,
mom, it's like you have, yes, like bonus everything,
bonus grandparents, you get everything. Yes.
I think it's really great that, you know, your ex's parents and your husband's parents and your parents and everybody can just be one big happy family, because isn't that ultimately what we want? Like, we want everybody to just get along, mm-hmm, and do what's best for the kids. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely.
So how do you guys work it, like, if you have your son and you guys have shared time, do you make an effort on your end for him to see your ex's parents, or does that kind of fall on him and you deal with, you know, you having him see your parents? Like, how does that dynamic work out?
Good question. Typically, and what we've kind of always already done from the beginning was, if it's, you know, my ex's time with my son, then he will normally take him to see his dad or his mom, you know, or his fiance's family. And, you know, in turn, on my time, we visit, you know, with my family. Unfortunately, my mom actually lives out of state, so she only visits a couple times a year, really. But we take it upon ourselves to answer your question, to visit our own families on our own time. And we haven't really had any issues with that, knock on wood.
Okay, good. How about you, Kristen?
So what's really funny is, when you're talking, I'm just realizing, like, how in my family we're just really not good sharers. Like, I think my keeper. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a middle child, so I'm, like, extremely, I think, protective of, uh-huh, what is mine, like food, everything, like on a primitive, mm-hmm, level. So, mm-hmm, I think just even dealing with in-laws was really hard for me starting out because nobody in my family has been divorced. So it was really interesting. Like, I'm very protective of my time. And I was that way even when we were married. Like, oh, like, no, we need to go to my family's house, your family's house and stuff like that. So with my girls, I think that it was a learning process for all of us. Like, we don't get them every holiday. We don't get them. And that was just a lot of growing pains, I think, on my part and on my family's part, my parents' part in particular. But now, you know, we're great. And we're in that same boat, you know, 4 years later, where we're going to ballet shows together and we're trick-or-treating together. And it just has, you know, become – and I really appreciate, you know, my ex-in-laws. They're great people and they always have been. So I think the animosity that happens when you're going through a divorce, you know, once the dust settles, you realize it's nobody's fault. It's just such a crappy process. So, you know, we're all good. But that, like I said, it was definitely – a learning process for me and my family about learning how to share, which we are not good with that.
And I think it's interesting because, I mean, I'm fortunate too that we all get along. Like, I have my husband's family and my family and my ex-husband's family, and we can all be in the same room and chit chat. And so, like, there's three grandparents and it all works out really well. But I remember initially when I split with him, like, feeling really sad. Like, I really loved and still love my first mother-in-law. And I've kind of, like, taken to calling her my first mother-in-law because I hate the sound of my ex because I love her to death. And we, like, I call her all the time. We still chat. So, like, when I get to see her, it's not as often because we kind of do the same thing. My ex will take my son to visit her on his time and they sleep over and, you know, they do it on theirs. Mm-hmm. We still do a Christmas get together. So I'll get together with her and my nephew and my kids. And we all do like a Christmas exchange and lunch and, you know, and my ex isn't there. It's kind of just us.
Wow. That's awesome.
That is nice.
So it's fun, but I miss her. I kind of like, I don't, and it's not because I don't want to see her. We don't have time, you know, life gets so crazy and now it's another person that you have to fit in. So we try, but you know, it's hard to kind of keep three families going all the time.
That's a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like everybody's kind of on the same page with in-laws. How about in terms of spouses and the ex-husbands? So, Brittany, you kind of shed some light on your situation. How about for you, Carrie?
So my husband and my ex are friendly, cordial. Like, we do the trick-or-treating thing together. My ex now comes to Thanksgiving dinner with us. And I love that, you know, I try to take the same picture every year where it's my dad and my stepdad and my ex-husband and my husband and my son. And I just, like, I love that picture because I feel like it's just, I don't know, it's like a symbol of what it's supposed to be. Because I'm like Brittany, like, I grew up in a split family. My ex-husband grew up in a split family. And my husband grew up in a split family. So we're kind of all like, it's fine. Like, we just.
You're blending.
It is what it is. Exactly. Yeah. It's whatever your family looks like, it looks like.
Yeah. Do you want to share that story, Carrie, about your stepdad?
Oh, yeah. So when I was maybe a teenager, early teenage, we're sitting at, I want to say it was Thanksgiving dinner at my aunt's house. And my dad commented to my stepdad, hey, I really love your sweater. And my stepdad was like, well, you should. It's yours. So apparently I had brought it home and worn it and it ended up in his closet. And here he shows up at Thanksgiving dinner wearing my dad's.
Oh my God.
It was just really funny. Everybody got a great laugh. The story lives on 20 years later.
Gosh.
Perfect. That is perfect. So I know we have just like such good conversation and we don't have that much time. So maybe, do we want to jump to the article that you found, Carrie, because I think there's some really good points from that that we can talk about in terms of like tips on how to get along in an ex situation. And I think I like it really because it's speaking mostly like from the female perspective, or, you know, it's mostly targeted, I feel like, towards the female role. So, you know, as the mom and the new stepmom, or like the ex and the current, you know, spouse. So do you want to just share what that article was and where you found it?
Sure. So I found it on, it was, I will add the link at the bottom when we publish the episode, but it was responsibledivorce.com. And I read through it and I just felt like it was talking to me because, you know, being the bonus mom and being the mom and dealing with all the issues and with our family, how many different age groups there are of all of our kids, like it's always a challenge to figure out, you know, where your place is, what, trying not to overstep, but still being present. And this article really gave like a lot of good talking points. As far as one of them that I really liked was to find your niche. Like, what is your role in your stepchild's life? You know, when you're the parent, your role is everything and anything and everything. Mm-hmm. Your role is to do it all. And if you're a single mom, it's really everything. If you are, you know, in a new relationship, you're blending it. But one of the things that the article was pointing out was, you know, like maybe one mom's a really great like crafter, like maybe the biological moms are really great at crafts and the bonus mom stinks at crafts, but the bonus mom's really great at, I don't know, doing hair, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. You kind of like figure out what you might be good at. And I can honestly say that we've struggled with this in my family, because when I came into the picture, my stepdaughters were 13, like 11, maybe 10, and like, mm-hmm, 3. So the older two, I never tried to take like the mom role. I kind of just was like the friend, like didn't really need to be a parent. But the 3-year-old, after time, like, you know, I'm here, like tonight, for example, my husband's away on business. I had her, she's 11 now, but like I'm the primary caregiver at this point, right? So if there needs to be any kind of direction or discipline, you know, every book in the world on step parenting says the step parent doesn't do that. But, you know, there are situations where you have to, mm-hmm, because you're the only one there. Mm-hmm. So finding your niche, and like, I don't know if you guys, like, I know you guys aren't stepmoms yet. You never know. Like, it might actually, neither one of you probably will be, right? I'm thinking about the dynamic. I'm like, wait, no, probably not.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I think the finding your niche part is really good. It was for me in thinking about a new, you know, potential stepmom to my daughter. So, mm-hmm, you know, the whole idea finding your niche for me, and I'm sure for her in a way too, it's like, you know, there's no, you're not trying to compete with each other, it's just trying to be complementary. So, right, you know, like my strengths are certain things, but I'm not like, my daughter will eat mini pancakes microwaved, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner when she goes to, right, because that's probably what I would eat too, you know, like I would eat cereal every day if I could. So when she goes to her dad's house, they're, you know, he takes pictures of the damn food and there's like tomatoes and fruit and like things that she's never has like crossed her mouth in my house. So there's a niche there of like, they like to do yoga. They like to, you know, they eat healthy. They, you know, go for walks in the woods, and we do different things. We go to the beach, we eat ice cream for dinner. We, you know, have popcorn for dinner. So, I think you can, it's almost like you're still in your relationship, but there's no competing because you're separate and you can, mm-hmm, just do everything that you want to do and be complimentary. What do you think, Brittany? Do you find that like to be a good guiding idea?
Yeah, absolutely. It took me, I mean, they've been together for a couple years, but it took me up until recently. They just kind of like let go and, mm-hmm, just say, you know what, I can't be and do everything. I'm not, I mean, I think I'm creative, but I don't have the creative bone. I don't have the time management that she does. And she, like, I wish I could send you guys pictures of this birthday party that she hosted for Shane, my son, last year. And she made like this beautiful fondant cake and had these games that there were homemade treats. It was just like above and beyond. And there was a little jealousy factor there. You know, why can't I do that? You know, and then I'm like, okay, I'm not doing a good enough job as a mom, but that's not it at all. That's just what she's good at. Exactly. Yeah. And that doesn't take away from me as a parent or us as a family. It's just, he has two homes with two dads and two moms, and it's all he knows. So it's, that's really good advice to just, whether it's, you know, you're the bonus mom or the mom, mm-hmm. to, you know, find out what you're good at, whether it's in life or as a parent or even as a wife, and, you know, strive in that and hold on to that and stay true to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause I think it is helpful in life. You know, you can't be everything all the time. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're always expecting ourselves to be the best, you know, employee, the best spouse, the best mother, you know, the best sister, the best daughter. And you just can't do everything all the time. So thank God we have other people that can help us. We have, you know, grandparents that love our kids. We have other people that can, you know, take that special time. That's what I think, you know, one of the blessings of divorce is that the time that you have with your kids is 100%, you know, you don't have it at all. And so, you know, when you are together, just killing it, just rocking it out. And then you don't, you know, the other parent is doing what they need to do. And you're like, okay, well now I'm going to work late tonight. I'm going to do all these other things, you know, to get myself together. So it is nice to think about it as a team, as opposed to like being less than.
Right.
I agree. And I think another, like, we're moms, obviously, so we're focusing on us, but the same thing can be true for the dads, right? So in our houses where there's the dad and the stepdad role, like, same thing applies, like, find your niche. And we've actually struggled with this because my husband and I got together when my son was very young. So he really knows no different. Like, he does not remember me living with his father. Mm-hmm. So he's always been present, but there's always been a very different relationship and almost like a competitive relationship between them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, like, the dads are making that happen or if it's my son that's creating it. It's kind of a work in progress. But what I've been trying to focus on is finding a niche for my husband with my son. Mm. And something that they can, like, bond over, because I feel like they need that. Like, he and his dad bond over pretty much everything. Football is the number one. They're both Giants fans. Like, that's their thing. Of course, as luck would have it, we're Cowboys fans in our house.
Automatic hatred.
Uh-huh.
Automatic, right. Which is, like, awful because over, like, this is a funny story. My son had a Giants jersey last year, and he was looking for it at the start of the season. I can't find it anywhere. His dad tears his part of house. I tears apart his house. I tear apart mine. Can't find it anywhere. Finally, he ends up buying him a new one. And then I find it in the laundry room closet, like, up on a shelf.
Jeez.
Which I know my son didn't put there, right? Like, so silly, like, stuff like that. So anyway, my husband and my son are now golfing together.
Oh, nice.
Which is something that they, like, both enjoy. It's not something that my ex really does. So I feel like it's just a little something that they can do together. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, Brittany, does your husband have anything like that to bond with Shane? Because they're kind of the same. Like, he's been around as long as he can remember, too.
Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't know any different of a life without him around. He definitely tries to involve my son with a lot of different activities. Like, my husband's a big hunter and fisher, and he likes being outdoors and cooking and doing different things. And it's nice that, you know, both my boys, but my older son especially, has kind of taken to that outdoorsy type thing, where he's very interested in spending time with him. And even if my husband's, like, doing yard work. Like, he wants to be outside with him. He wants to help pick up sticks or, you know, like something silly. There is times when, and it's taken time to adjust to it. And, you know, we learn to bite our tongue, but my son will talk a lot about what happens at his dad's house and, you know, how his stepmom did this or how they went here or how his other grandparents bought him this or did that or, you know, and it's kind of, at first we're like, wow, he's like, they're doing so much or they're going different places. And it felt like it was competitive at first, but then it also felt like, okay, you know, does he talk about us like this when he's over there? You know, like, are they like being bombarded with, okay, mom's house, we did this, and at mom's house, we did that, you know? Yeah. So it's hard to know. I think it's just an overexcitement thing where, you know, he's sharing a lot and he's experiencing a lot. And to him, it's normal. To him, this is his life, you know? So when he's at our house, he'll talk about hunting and fishing or doing yard work or, you know, going to the beach or the pool or, you know, and then when he's with his dad, he does different things. They go running or they do outdoorsy hiking things or eating healthier, you know, like we're hearing things, which is nice, but it can also be, you know, like, this is my time. I want my time to be just for me. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
I think it's great, like what you said about biting your tongue sometimes, because I definitely struggle with that. Like, mm-hmm. I want them to share what they're doing because you know, you miss them when they're not with you. You want to know everything they did.
Yeah.
But if we probe too much or we ask too many questions, they stop. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good what you're doing to just like let him talk and share, mm-hmm. so that he's comfortable telling you, you know, what he's up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely think. And, you know, letting go of it and just getting to the point where you can be like, you know what? He's happy.
Yeah.
He's safe. Yep. They love him. Like, it's not easy. I mean, I know there's many a night that I cry, and I'm sure you guys mm-hmm. do too. But it's good. It's all good that they have people that love them and extra bonus people,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. And I think in some ways, like, that whole dialogue is like, oh, I have this other life and let me tell you about it. Like, they're, mm-hmm. you know, like, we're a friend. Like, oh my gosh, like, I was at this birthday party and I wasn't there, so tell me all about it. But it's like, you know, they're other parents, so they just want to share with you all the other stuff that they're doing, which, mm-hmm. you know, is cool and a little, you know, it's a little painful at times, but it is nice, you know, in the whole theme of, like, they have, as Carrie said, like, this whole extra life, like, all the bonus parts that come with blending a family.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are about out of time. I'm definitely going to share the link for that article because there was a bunch of other good points on it that I think are worth, you know, worth reading for sure. So I will definitely put that in the notes. And thank you, Brittany, so much for joining us. This was so fun.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on. It was nice.
Yes. So we hope that we shared something helpful with everyone tonight. If something resonated with what you're going through, let us know and share our podcast with your friends. Our goal is to help us all step up in our parenting skills and to blend gracefully. See you all next week on the Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Cheers.
Cheers.